A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yes, indeed. Problem Shared. Tony and Val McGinley with me on the line. Good morning to both of you and thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, listeners.
Can I talk to you? Look, every once in a while a story comes along that kind of grabs the attention in terms of you know, what's happened to people, what's been done to people. It comes out of our courts. The story, of course, of control and the control of another human being. That horrendous story in relation to the Garda, the former Garda now, who was convicted and sentenced to 3.25 years. It's just, look, thankfully the situations are isolated in the extreme nature of that one we're talking about. But Tony, it's a lot for people to deal with, and there are people out there, no doubt, who are in some very difficult relationships at the moment who would be, I suppose, struggling to deal with these sort of situations as they happen.
Yeah, it is a huge issue, and there are some people being literally half a lifetime in relationships like that. The problem with them is that the law isn't able to look into the relationships, and very often there's a skepticism. You know, if somebody comes and reports something, there used to be a skepticism about, you know, are they making this up? So, I mean, things are changing. I mean, I had a recent experience with the Gardaí, and they were so good, and the follow-up was excellent. So, I mean, yeah, it's changing for the better, but yeah, you're dead right.
It is one of those things that the whole idea of if you believe or will you be believed, the first step to be made. And it's clear that some people are going through some horrendous things, Val, behind the scenes, behind closed doors.
Yeah, Jerry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because you don't follow the news.
No, the listeners, and you know that, because I find it so depressing that I just keep my head buried in the sand. My brother said to me, Val, your head is buried in the sand, and I said, and it's staying there.
Quite happy from that. It's one of those things, I suppose, that's like one of the reasons why, because the detail in this story is quite distressing. And that's one of the reasons, I suppose,
horrific,
why you decide those situations, Val, and you keep yourself out of it.
I have to, Jerry, because, like, I you know, when years and years and years ago the famine was happening in Biafra, I wanted to go out and succour all those children, and that's beyond my control. So I kind of know myself to a certain extent, and I know the things that I can't deal with, some of the things I can't deal with, so I just stay out of them.
Yeah. Okay, fair point. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme. Any questions for Tony and Val, get into us as well. We'll start with this one this week. My dad is in a nursing home and I'm responsible for his finances. He regularly tells me to give money to his grandson, my nephew, but I'm slow in doing this because he's gone off the rails at the moment. He's smoking weed, is in trouble with the guards regularly. Obviously, we haven't told my father this, so what do I do? Do I give him 20 euro here and there at my dad's request, or do I tell my dad what he's been up to? Any advice would be welcome. Thanks.
Well, what he doesn't want to do is upset the dad, but what he does want to do is to stop the feeding money to his
nephew.
Drug habit and behaviour. And I think it's a personal decision really here, which should be discussed with the family. You know, can the dad handle knowing that he's grandson is like this? If he's compos mentis and, you know, able to handle it and is not emotionally upset, then yeah, I would be for, you know, breaking it to him gently, you know, that this is what's happening and that he shouldn't be giving money to him. On the other hand, if he is, you know, inclined to get upset and stuff like that, and you don't want to, fair enough, but definitely you don't want to be feeding the nephew's bad habits. Mm. So, I mean, the father isn't going to know whether he gets the money or not.
Yeah.
But it's personal decisions, really. I think in a situation like this is one that should be handled by the family, you know, that other close relatives, you know, say,
should be involved in a discussion.
This is what's happening and what do we do about it?
Yeah.
And rather than go dive in the deep end of the swimming pool and hit a rock.
Yeah. Val?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, if the father in the nursing home is giving money for a certain cause, I don't think I have any right to do anything else with that money except honour the cause.
Yeah.
But it strikes me that this listener has a real dilemma. And what I think I would say to this listener is, Dad, I'm having great difficulty for several reasons in following out your orders and carrying out your orders. May I humbly suggest that you get someone else to do it?
Yeah.
And I would be doing my best to extricate myself from my relationship with the father and the giving the money to the nephew.
Well, it's a very tricky situation in several different areas. Number one is the question of the health of the father in the nursing home. And if he was to know what was happening with, let's say, we don't know if it's a favourite grandson, it probably is maybe, would that cause his own, would it increase or would he be able to handle the news about the grandson, number one? And that's a health consideration, I suppose, a mental health consideration. And I suppose number two, Val, what happens, and this is a hypothetical, what happens if you do tell him and he decides, you know what, I still want the money to go to him. That's my decision. Do you have to respect that?
I would say I'm not giving the money.
Yeah.
I would, if it's outside of my philosophy to give money to somebody that I know is going to spend it on drugs or that the money is going to feed his drug habit, I would not be involved in that. So I would say to my dad, no, I wouldn't bring it specifically to the drugs. I would say for several reasons, I'm not in a position to carry out this anymore.
Yeah.
So I suggest you make maybe possibly alternative arrangements or whatever.
Yeah. Tony, what about that issue, that dilemma of the right of the person to know, first of all, and then the right of the person to be able to give orders, and is legislation newly in about this, about what happens with their money?
Well, that's something that's been argued out, I'd say, 100,000 times over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's something that would exercise a lot of legal minds as well. But, you know, there are two very strong issues. One, not upsetting the dad. The other is feeding the nephews or the grandson's drug habit. And I'd be all for cutting off his supply of easy money that he can get his weed. Needs to be taken to task. Again, it's his father, not his uncle, should be doing that. So there's a whole bunch of complex issues in here. And as I said, it would take a family consultation, if that's possible. Some families just can't kind of deal with that stuff and they'll just close off. But if possible, it needs to be discussed with the family and some sort of an arrangement come to that, you know, allows this money to be cut off to the nephew or grandson.
Yeah. I have
an objection to the words protecting the father. I have, like if it's going to cause mental health. Now, I'm not advocating telling the father, but maybe the family is protecting the father too much and mollycoddling the father from the vicissitudes of the world, the troubles of the world. Yeah. And that's a lovely place to be in, but is it reality? And I don't think it is, to be quite honest with you. No, I'm not advocating telling the father.
Yeah, no, it's very difficult.
I'm not advocating not telling him either.
And that's why you're talking with the other family members and why Tony was talking about a discussion to say, look, what are we going to do about this situation and get everyone to weigh in and have some sort of a resolution to, yes, I think, or maybe even talk to the doctor of the father to say,
yeah, and I would put forward in the family consultation, if and when it happens, I would put forward my tuppence worth, and I would also abide by the majority decision.
Yeah.
Even though I might be very, very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, and enter into it, that you have to enter into it that way to get a resolution out of it.
I also would enter it, Jerry, to be quite honest with you, with the factor that I'm not getting involved in this. I'm not handing money over to somebody who's using it for drugs.
Yeah.
So, I would enter the consultation ready to protect my rights as an individual also, and not like he said, oh, you've been handling dad's money all the time, you continue. I would say, I'm not continuing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. Look, if you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show on 066-7123-666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083-300-3300. We'll have more on A Problem Shared with Tony and Val McGinley after we...
A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony Vale McGinley was on the line talking problem shared. Our next query comes in and asks, why is it that when I'm in bed, awake at night, I have all sorts of bad thoughts about myself and the future, and yet it never happens during the day?
Tony? Well, simply because we use sleep and the period before sleep to review our lives and our day as such. And that's a quick answer. But you know, why is it all bad thoughts are the question that I ask, and that there's not the odd good stuff in there as well. And, you know, you could ask yourself that question because, you know, why is it all bad thoughts and not any good ones? And basically, it could be that you're a little bit depressed. It could be that you're under stress during the day. There's umpteen different reasons why your sleep time or your pre-sleep time is overtaken by sort of negative thoughts and feelings of guilt or whatever the heck is going on there in your head. And if you find that, you know, it's all bad and you just ask yourself, what's driving it? What in your past or your present is driving that sort of behavior? And it may help you to find, you know, some answers. If it's really bothering you, I would suggest that you consult a counsellor that can help you maybe think your way through that sort of stuff.
I think like, you know, when this listener says never during the day, I think we're distracted by day. We're distracted by the daylight and by lots of things that we have to do and, you know, business.
Other people, interacting with people and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my suggestion would be, like, I go along with what Tony says, and my suggestion would be have diversion tactics next to the bed and the lamp. And like whether it is crosswords or Sudoku or whatever, word search or whatever, or a novel or something like that, turn on the light and do it, the stuff, like distract myself.
I went through a bit of that at one stage in my, more than one stage in my life, is to not read bad news or anything that upsets the system, or watch horror movies late at night or that sort of thing, because that does preempt that sort of thinking going on in the head. So again, you know, I think before we sleep we should be winding down for several hours. And ask yourself, are you doing something that helps your system to wind down, or are you watching movies or news immediately before going to bed? Because that kind of thing will certainly provoke that type of thing.
They recommend 15 minutes.
What I do is bring myself to account. And for example, if I've told you lies, Jerry, be resolved to tell you the truth, you know, from now on, and kind of focus on how I'm going to change myself. Like, with I don't like the fact that I snapped the head off of the children or something like that. So, you know, just bring myself to account and think, and visualise being kind to the children, being kind to animals, etc., etc. The other thing I could do is get a notebook and write down all the things that I'm appreciative of during the day, and kind of have that notebook next to the bed and focus on it.
And another thing actually that could be done is to actually write the thoughts down, because you can then analyze what was going through your head, and in fact that might ease the whole effect. Because sometimes when people suffer from nightmares, they wake up, you know, almost screaming in the middle of the night. One of the advices is to write down what was going through your head, because when it's dreams, as distinct from this pre-sleep sort of thinking, dreams are a review as well of our lives. We're looking at our lives in a non censored way and analyzing, whereas we often live quite a lot of lies. We were talking about, you know, that a dreadful case of the Garda and his wife. That sort of behavior leaves a mark on the person who's perpetrating that behavior. And there's so much in our lives now that is not right, and very often that does come out prior to sleep or during sleep.
And the other thing that occurs to me is I would do something for maybe 2 or 3 months and then review it. Is it working? And if it's not reviewing, if it's not working, do something else.
Yeah.
And like I might ask, like Jerry, what do you do? Do you ever have bad thoughts at night, and what do you do about them?
To get around them. Yeah, and writing down.
Yeah, well, keeping a little notebook by the bed and noting down the thoughts that go through your head.
Would that help, Tony? Like
a
with the right
start.
With the writing down, would it help like this person stop with negative thoughts about themselves and the future? That over those 2 or 3 months, look back and say, well, did any of that happen? Did any of that, those things I was wasting
idea.
My time talking about or thinking about, did that come to pass? Or am I just being overly negative?
At the very least, it'll be a signpost to what's maybe going wrong in their lives that might be provoking this type of thinking, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we have a comment in here on our earlier query about the older man in the nursing home wanting to give money to his grandson and all of that, who was on drugs. The younger person has an addiction, which is an illness. Addicts do not make choice to have an addiction. Many don't have access to resources to try to get help, as pressure on resources is so restrictive today. So the caller feels everyone in this situation needs to be included in the conversation, and the caller would definitely start with the younger person, letting them know the family's not happy with them asking for money. The younger man must be made to know the consequences. But I suppose, in fairness, the younger man isn't asking if he's just getting the money. Yes.
That
yes,
could open a big can of worms, yeah.
Yeah. And
what do you mean by that, Tony?
Well, you know, that's confronting a young man like that. He could literally blow up in their faces. And how are they going to handle it if they're not trained?
Yeah.
And it's not something that I would readily kind of recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, an addiction is an addiction, and there does need to be help for it. But I don't have to buy into the addiction.
Yeah.
Well, also, if it's cannabis he's using, that's not so addictive, and it would slightly slip into a different sort of
category.
Territory.
But it's trouble with the guards is the other alarming thing in terms of other issues that we don't know the detail of. A caller whose experience of similar situations suggests, Val and Tony, look outside the box and perhaps ask the grandson's parents, it's this texter's nephew, of course, to talk to their son, asking him not to ask the money from the grandfather. If he continues to ask for money, then to the grandfather should be told. Now, we don't know, in fairness, from the query whether the grandson is asking. He may just be getting it from the grandfather.
It may not be a functional family. That's one I thought of. And his family may not be functional.
Yeah.
You know,
that option might not be available. Yeah, that option might not be available. And in fairness, thanks to the listener for pointing that out, because we're going through it step by step in terms of the possible scenarios here. And another listener along those lines, where do the parents of this lad come into this conversation? Well, that goes back to Val, what you're saying, the family meeting to address the issue. And if the parents are there, include them in that discussion about what's going on.
I think I read that he's an adult.
Yes. Yeah.
And if he's an adult, he's responsible. He has passed the stage of childhood and he's not answerable to his parents or indeed to anybody. He's answerable to God and to himself.
Yeah.